Last year we couldn't come.
Amako ogunyi said it why is akukoma o?
Because we had to go to other countries.
Kubanga so you know being that mawanga malala.
And Brother Wilson said we must come this year.
Nee, ne tu gamba gana, you know come away gana.
So we're happy to come.
Tuli basanyu for kubanga tuzie.
And to see you know, all of you have gathered. You
know,
it reminds me of the time when Jesus was, he was in was on the earth. And you know the people will gather in the houses. Well, when I went to Israel, I saw they took us to the. Somewhere they say it was the house of Peter.
And
they said that was, Jesus was living with Peter. And that was the first church. The first church started in a home.
Like this.
And then, you know, home churches. It's very good. Because it makes everyone of us we are, you know, we sit, we are relaxed. So sometimes when you stay in a big hall. It's not exactly like when we are in a room like this.
And
I noticed so many young faces. So God has an army in Uganda. Amen.
Amen.
God has an army in Uganda. We're just coming from Central African Republic. And there too, a lot of young people. Coming through the airport, we saw so many changes in the airport. And we have been reading the papers about the elections. And the challenges you have had with the elections. And one other very important news. I'm sure you know that very soon there will be oil in this country. So a lot of money will be coming to Uganda. So the church must be, we must position ourselves so that we can use this improvement for the gospel. So God is giving this country another chance. Not just Uganda, all over Africa. God is visiting Africa again. Many many countries, the economy is beginning to improve. And it is an opportunity. You know, it's a fresh visitation of God. Not just on the physical thing, but in the spirit we know it speaks of a visitation. The other important point is that most countries in Africa within last year and this year, they are celebrating 50 years of independence. They are celebrating 50 years of the independence. Last year it was 50 years in Nigeria. I don't know what time it is in this country. Is it
40?
For
the
Okay, okay. So you, very soon you will soon come to 50 years. Okay. So it's the same time. Do we know what the number 50 means in scripture? You know, the word of God is written with it's like Jesus told the story in parables. He told them parable, but in the parable there are so many lessons, so many things that God was trying to say to them. The number 50 speaks, means jubilee.
Kakati omwendo guno gwata no gutegeeza ekijaguzo ekiyitibwa jubilee.
A time of freedom.
Ekijaguzo ekitegeeza emirembe.
A time of restoration.
Ekyokuzibwawo.
A time of deliverance.
Era ekyokusumululwa.
A time of visitation.
Era kyakukyalirwa.
I say it's a time when every man will go back to the possession he lost.
Kakati emyaka ginata na kijaguzo kino buli muntu yadangamu naddizibwa ebyobugaggo bw'ebintu byafiwa ebyamugibwako.
A time when every man will go back to his inheritance.
Buli musajja we yaddirangayo mu busika bwe.
And physically we can see that happening.
Kakati ekyo tukiraba mu nsi ey'omubiri.
And spiritually we also know that is what is happening. Like this is a time of God's visitation upon every one of us. You know, so we need to open our hearts,
you know,
and submit to what God is doing. Now if we go to Leviticus
25.
Leviticus
25.
It gives us the story of Jubilee. And in it, it says that when a man is so poor, that he sells himself to his brother and say, I'm very poor. You know, our major problem in Africa is poverty. You know, in Uganda, in Nigeria, it's the same thing.
Uganda, Nigeria, you know what for Jehovah.
And the Bible says that in Israel at that time, that if a man was so poor, that he went and sold himself to
him.
Somebody who was rich,
I
said, take me as your slave. The Bible says that in Israel, that man that sold himself as a slave will not be a slave forever. That yes, he will be a slave to his brother. But on the day of Jubilee, after the 50th year, on that day, that the trumpet of Jubilee will sound. Now when that man who has sold himself hears that trumpet, in the Bible, trumpet means a message. God said when the people of God come together, they will use the trumpet to order them So if they blow one or two times, it means it means a particular group of people are being addressed. Or if they blow it for a long time, it means it's time for war. So we know that in the Bible, trumpet means a message. If you read in Revelation, the Bible talks of the first trumpet, second trumpet, up to the seventh trumpet. And all those trumpets mean a message from God, a specific message from God. And so there is a last trumpet, the final trumpet. And the Bible said that when the last trump, or the last trumpet, Paul said, we shall be changed. And the Bible said that at midnight there was a trumpet, saying the virgin should, should go out to meet the Lord. So I'm going to come to that story very soon. But first of all, I want to explain this important principle of Jubilee, because you must understand it's very, very important. So when you go home, I want you to read the story, because we won't have time to read all of it. So it says that when that trumpet sounds on the day of Jubilee, that the man who has sold himself in slavery, when he hears it, he knows that that is the time for him to be free. When he hears that trumpet, he knows that that is the trumpet of Jubilee. And he knows that that is the time for his freedom. And he will talk to his master. I say, the trumpet is sounding. I am a free man. And the Bible said that he will now return to his that possession that he sold. He will go and take it back. So whether he sold himself or he sold a piece of land or a house, whatever it was, on the day of Jubilee, everything will go back to him. So if you read verse 15, verse 23, sorry.
So he
says that the land shall not be sold forever. Now, the Bible tells us that we are the land. Because when God was creating Adam, what did he use to create Adam? He created Adam from the ground, from the earth. And in prophecy, and in the Bible, the earth speaks of you. And God is saying that the land will not be sold forever. So even if the land has been sold, it is sold in hope, knowing that one day that the trumpet of Jubilee will sound, and the door of deliverance will be opened. So that is the message we are bringing to you. We are bringing to you the message of Jubilee. God has asked us to come and tell you that this is the time of your Jubilee. That's why we are here. to tell you that this is the time of your jubilee. You know, as I was entering the plane in Nairobi, a song started, that's to come to Entebbe. A song started, you know, was welling up in my heart. I can't remember all the words. He says, "So you are next in line for your miracle." Do you know the song? Yeah, I am next in line for a miracle. This is your time. Amen. So it says that you are next in line for the miracle. I see that this is your time. Amen. So you are the only one that can disqualify yourself. So God is saying that this is the time of deliverance. Amen. And you know, when Jesus entered the temple,
yes, we are in Jeremiah.
After he was baptized, you know, the Bible, it says, I think it's in Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at it. Is it Matthew 4? Look. Matthew 4, I think. No, I think it's Luke. Yeah, he said the Spirit of the Lord is. I think Luke. Let's look at Luke 4:18. I'm not sure of that one. Luke 4:18. I'm sure of it. Luke 4:18. The Bible says that if you read from verse 14 down. Okay. And that Jesus entered the temple.
Yes, sir.
And when he entered, they asked him to say something. He went and took the book of Isaiah. And then he read. So, verse 18, read it.
Omwoyo gwa Mukama guli ku nze, kubanga yanfukako amafuta okubuulira abaavu ebigambo ebirungi. Antumye okutendera abanyago okuteebwa, n'okuzibula abazibe b'amaaso, n'okubata ababitentebwa.
So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Agambye omwoyo wa Mukama ali ku nze.
So he says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Anfukako amafuta okubuulira abaavu ebigambo ebirungi.
To preach the deliverance to the captives. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Sorry.
The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. Amen.
Amen.
So even when Jesus, when he went there, what he told them was Jubilee.
Yes,
so Jesus is always talking of
Jubilee.
That is what he has in mind for you. To open the prison door. Say to heal the brokenhearted. To preach. And the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. So this jubilee is for every, no matter whatever your situation is, there is something that God has for you. And this weekend, God has something for you. So whatever you are carrying in your hand, God will meet you at the point of your need. God is going to meet you at the point of your need. Amen.
Amen.
So So that is the message that Jesus began to, you know, talk about.
Now, if you
look at Leviticus and Luke, you will see something. In Leviticus, he was talking about land. He was talking about houses. He was talking about people who sell themselves, you know, as slaves. But in Luke, he was talking about people who are blind. He was talking about people who are broken hearted. He was talking about those who are poor. He was relating it to them personally. So every word of God that you read is talking about you. Every word of God that you read is talking about you. So even if the Bible is telling of story about Abraham, God is talking of you. Amen. So it's a principle that you need to have in mind as we go on. Now, as you said, God, when he was creating Adam, took him from the ground. And he created Adam. And the Bible said that he took the earth. Bible
yagamba
and he breathed into Adam. And Adam became a living soul.
Adam.
Now, for a long time, the devil has been cheating us. Because the devil has not allowed you to know who you are. You know, the way you see yourself is not the way God sees you. There was a man like that in the Bible. His name was Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob was struggling with his brother. Esau.
Yeah, Jacob was what? Struggling. Okay.
And he was a cheat. He was not very straight. When God met him, they asked him, what is your name? You know, in the Bible, name means nature. And I hope there's nobody in this room who has a name that is your name after the god of your village. You are not named after your great 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 grandfather that died. Because I think if you are close to Western Kenya, so I know it's the same culture. Because in Western Kenya, when a child is born, they will go and ask the great grandfather who has died. And they will speak in the dream. Or they will speak, somehow they will speak. They say, this is the name of the child. That one will end today. Because you are answering devil name, it will affect your life. Amen. We're just coming from Bangui, Central African Republic. The brother, he had a twin. Two boys. He called one Benjamin, the other one he called Benoni. He didn't know. I died because he wasn't reading his Bible. He didn't know what it meant. Benjamin is a good name. It means the son of my right hand. Benoni means the son of my pain. The son of my sorrow. The son of my suffering. And the boy Benjamin, when we met the two boys, Benjamin is very, very cheerful. Very, you know, he's. When you meet him, you can feel he's very, very, you know, active. But Benoni is withdrawn. Very quiet. Depressed. So when he told us his name was Benoni, in my heart I felt that I said, ah, this is a bad name. So we didn't, I forgot about it. So when we were praying for them, Brother Isaac came here some other, I think he came the first time. You know, he has a prophetic ministry. He said, we are going to pray for you. So your name is going to change today. And then we found out that the boy has been very sad. He changed his name without telling his father. So he told his friends, call me Ben. Just Ben. He said, don't call me Benoni. So the Noni, which has to do with pain, said, take it from my name. I don't want pain. His father didn't know. It was when we were praying for him that his brother said, actually, that his name, he doesn't want to be called Benoni. Because the father said, your name now is Ben. And that is the name he has been answering. Without the father knowing. So name is very important. It's very important. So Jacob was answering, he said his name is Jacob. The angel said, we don't know anybody called Jacob in heaven. There is nobody called Jacob in heaven. That your name is Israel. A prince with God. But he has been suffering, thinking that he was Jacob. When in actual fact, he was a prince with God. And that is our story. It is the story of man. God has made us to be a prince with him. But the devil has been cheating us. And you know, with the way we see ourselves, it's not the way God sees us. Amen. But this is the year of Jubilee. This is the time of our deliverance. Amen. So, when God created Adam, when God created you, Adam had three parts, three natures in him. And it's important for you to know. Adam had three parts. He took the clay and breathed into Adam. That's Genesis chapter 2, isn't it? And then he breathed into Adam also. So there were two things. One was the earth. The other one was heaven. Because the breath of God was the life of God. It is heaven. The other one was earth. And two of them met together. Heaven and earth met together. In you, heaven and earth meet together. You are the only creation of God that has the two. Angels were not created from the earth. So the angels cannot live on the earth. But you can live on earth. Because you are created from the dust of the earth. Also, you also have the breath of God in you. So you have a spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody says, if those of you who are women here, when a man wants to marry you, he will give you his phone number, is he not?
His number.
Phone number. So that when he calls you, you can listen to him, isn't
it
also? So is it strange to you that God would have put his spirit in you so that he can relate with you? Amen.
Amen.
Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the only way God can talk to you is that he has to put his spirit in you. Amen.
Amen.
So every man has a spirit.
And
the Bible says that when he breathed into man, Adam became a living soul. Now, a third component now came. Adam became a living soul. And the soul is a mixture of heaven and earth. The soul is a mixture of heaven and earth. And that is man. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at the scripture, because we are doing Bible study. As Brother Wilson said, this is a house meeting. So that we can look at the scriptures and use it to, so that when we understand it, we cannot teach others, isn't it also? So that's why I'm showing you the scripture, so that you will see it. So we've read Leviticus, we've read Matthew, Luke, and we've looked at Genesis chapter 2. Now we're coming to 1 Thessalonians chapter
5.
Verse
23.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse
23.
Okay, you can read.
Agamba nti era Katonda w'emirembe yennyini abatukulize eddala. Era omwoyo gwammwe n'obulamu n'omubiri byonna awamu bikuumibwenga awatali kunenyezebwa mu kujja kwa Mukama waffe Yesu Kristo.
Okay. So here, Paul is talking about the three components in you.
Kati nno Paulo onayogera ku bintu ebisatu.
And Paul explained that your spirit, your soul, and your body will be preserved blameless at the coming of Christ. When Christ comes, your spirit and your soul and your body should be prepared and ready for him. But when Adam died, the spirit, the soul, and the body of Adam went into death, died. So you see, there has to be a change. Adam needed a change. So let's go back again to Genesis. So just put your hand on Thessalonians, we'll come back here. Why we go back to Genesis? Genesis is the deepest book in the Bible. It has a lot of things in it. So I encourage you to read it very well. You see, when you read the Bible, your Bible is written at three levels. And as a leader, if you don't know that, you have a problem. So people think the Bible is a story. Well, there are stories there. But the stories are more than stories. For instance, the Bible talked about Abraham. We know Abraham was a man that lived. But when you go to Galatians, it says Abraham is the father of faith. And he said that we are the children of Abraham. Are you a child of Abraham? Naturally, you are not a child of Abraham. Because if you are a child of Abraham, you will not be black like me. You will be white. Your hair will be shine. But you are children of Abraham by faith. In other words, that is the spiritual application. So every word of God has a spiritual application. If you read only the physical one and stop there, you are missing a lot. But if you begin to look at the spiritual application, you see, so you, in fact, the Bible will open up and become so exciting. And you saw the experience of, you saw the example of Jesus. When he was talking about Jubilee, he started talking about blind people. He started talking of lame people. He started talking about poor people. Because he was applying it spiritually. So every word of God has a spiritual application. The Ethiopian eunuch that Philip met on the road was reading a scripture in Isaiah. The Bible said that Philip, from that scripture in Isaiah, preached to him Jesus. How can you find Jesus in Isaiah? He didn't mention the name Jesus. But Jesus said that the prophets, that they speak of me. Do you understand? The law and the prophets, they speak of me. Every scripture in the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is not alone. Anyway, Jesus is not alone.
Okay.
Jesus is the head. He has a body. So you see that his head is moving around. Anywhere the head is, the body will be there also. Who is the body of Jesus? Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. Amen. So if every scripture is talking of Jesus, then in every scripture you are there. You can claim it. You can apply it to yourself. Amen. So you see, that's how to study and to benefit from the scripture. Because the scripture has a spiritual application. And we even go to see. There is even a higher dimension of the scripture. And we are praying that by the time we finish this meeting by Sunday, we will be talking about the scripture in a higher dimension. We are going to build it up. Because if the scripture is speaking of you, which part of you is the scripture talking of? Is it your hand? Is it your hand? Is it your leg? Is it your eye? It's talking of your soul. Amen. The most important part of you to God is the soul. Says even if they cut off your leg, you can go to heaven. It's better than for you to go to hell complete. So what is telling you that your physical body is not too important? It's important. But Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul?" Do you understand what that means? That means all the money put together in Uganda is not equivalent to your soul. Your soul is more important to God than all the things in Uganda, than all the things in this world. That's what he said. It means you are very important. But many of us do not know we are important. Many of us do not know we are important.
Okay.
And we do not care for our soul. We are more interested in what we are going to give this belly to eat.
Food.
And that is the problem with the prosperity message. Prosperity message is telling you God will give you a new socks. This one is torn. God, if you bring 1 shilling, God will give you a new socks. If you give God 10 shilling, He will give you a new car. He will multiply your money. Your car and your socks and your soul, which one is more important?
Kati socks ne motoke eri ne meme yoche chisinga obukulu.
But in the church we have not been looking after our soul.
Naye no mukalisa tetadde nnyo sira ku meme.
The church from America.
The kanisa okuva mu America.
The church from Nigeria.
Even Nigeria.
Run away from them.
Biaviva kutu ino kuva.
Because the only thing they know is what? Money. The only message they have is what? Money. And money will not prepare your soul.
I think I said the series is going to take a
minute. Amen. That is the jubilee God is bringing to us. It's part of the jubilee. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the blessings will be begging you. They will run after you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Seek the kingdom of God first. And the blessings will follow you. You don't need to follow them. They will follow you. December 31st. December 31st.
December 31st.
What happens on December 31st? Do you know what happens on December
31st?
Crossover. Where are you crossing over to? They say you bring oil. Bring your, show your oil. You bring your candle. Hey. Deception. God is saying we should repent. Amen. We didn't know. We say, God, forgive us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is changing a lot of things. The more important thing is your soul. If your soul is healed, the blessings of God will follow you more than. I'll give you one example. There's a man called Abraham. You know Abraham? God bless him. One time there was a war. This is Genesis 14. 13, 14, 15. There was a war. And he had to join them in the war. And after the war, the kings that he helped in the war called him, say, come, let us bless you, Abraham. He said, Abraham, anything you like, take. What did Abraham say to them? I say, I'm too big for you people. Say, God has blessed me. Maybe for the young men you can give them. For me, God has blessed me. Abraham was not following, looking for all those things. It was following him. And the Bible says he was rich in cattle and so many things. Amen. When your soul is right with God, He will bless you. And I'll show you another scripture. I think Second Job, where is it? I wish that you might be prosper and be in health. The one that says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. As you are so prosperous. Is it Second John? Is it not Second John 3? No, it's not First John. Others.
Yeah, 3, 2.
It's 3 John, isn't it? Very good, very good. Read.
Omwagalwa, nsaboberenga bulungi mbigambo byonna era oberena nga n'obulamu ng'omwoyo gwo bwe gubeera obulungi.
Okay.
Ebbaluwa ya Yokaana ey'okusatu olunyiriri lwa
kubiri. Is there in your Bible? If your soul does not prosper, you will not be in health. You will not be in health. If your soul does not prosper, even the physical prosperity you will not have. So you see, they have been deceiving us. The devil has been deceiving us. It's okay. Follow prosperity. Follow healing. You go to a healing school. Go to a prosperity seminar. You are not caring for your soul. Amen. Is it clear? If your soul is doing well, if your soul is healed, it will spill over. It will affect your body. It will affect the things around you. Bible said that a cheerful soul is a good message. I think somewhere in Proverbs. You know, when your soul is, you know, when you are cheerful, it even affects your body. It even affects your body. When you are sad, it begins to affect your body. You know, I'm a doctor. In the hospital, we see a lot of people. They are sick. Because they are sick in their mind. They are depressed. Their body begins to break down. So the most important thing in you is your soul. The devil knows. That's why he's covering your eyes so that you will not know. God himself knows. In fact, God says that soul is his temple. God is saying that soul is his dwelling place. That's the next thing that we're going to talk of. So when God made Abraham, made Adam, God had something in mind. God had a purpose. God had a plan. The plan of God was that Adam will be his dwelling place. That Adam will be his temple. Now, do you know that none of us here would have had any chance at all if the Old Testament was still there? How many of us know that if the Old Testament was still there, me and you won't even smell this Bible?
Won't do what?
That we will not smell, we will not come near to the kingdom of God. How many people know? Why? Because in the Old Testament, for you to be a priest, to even come near, one, you have to be a child of Israel. You have to be from Israel. To come near the temple. Number two, to enter from the outer court to the holy place, it was only the sons of Aaron. Even the sons of Levi couldn't go. The sons of Levi could only stop in the outer court. The holy place, it was only the sons of Aaron. Even themselves, that's where they stopped. It was only one man that could enter the Holy of Holies. Only one man. So, anything we are doing here is not, we are not following the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, it was only a few people who could have access to God. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a physical temple. the priest ministered in the physical temple.
Akati inga bakaona ba wereza muye kaluomo.
And there are sacrifices of goats and bulls and so on.
Iranga ba wayo sadaka ezembuzi nezente.
That's what Hebrews talks about.
Kati chabulani yachayogerako.
So I want you to look at, you know, go and read Hebrews later.
Njagala ogendo some baluwa ya Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 up to 10.
Oh, somo kuvako sule yoko tano paka kujia.
You know, it will tell you what I'm saying now.
Wajia kunyo nyoyemba dengi.
Now the priest had to minister in a physical temple.
Nti kabona yayinango kuweleza muwemere obuliwo.
Do you know the biggest surprise?
Mumanyi echewonyise nyo.
Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi.
Yesu tava mu lulu abalevi.
So even Jesus himself couldn't enter. Don't you understand?
Ne Yesu tayari injide.
Jesus himself, no show for him.
Yesu tayari injideyo.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, he couldn't go in. If he entered there, they would have just stoned him. Don't you understand? So God had to put aside the Old Testament. God had to put aside that physical temple. God had to put aside that priesthood. God had to even take away that high priest. So that old system, God put it aside. Because it was not, if God was using it then, it means it was only the Jews that will be saved. But to make a way for you and for me, and even to make a way for Jesus himself, God had to bring a new priesthood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in this new priesthood, everything changed. In this new priesthood, you are the temple. The temple of God is not the physical building. But the Pentecostal people, they are telling you that the temple of God is that small hall. When you enter the God's temple, you walk soft, is it not so? You have entered the holy temple of God. Meanwhile, you are the holy temple of God. Paul said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord?" So you see, you have been deceiving yourself all along. You have been living in slavery. That's why God said, "We should come and set you free." As I said, this weekend is deliverance. For you to know who you are, you are the very temple of God. So if you are going to make anything holy, it is you. Paul said you should present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice unto him. The place that is holy is your mind. Your mind is the most should be holy. You shouldn't just allow any kind of thoughts to go through your mind. When you allow bad thoughts to enter your mind, your mind becomes an agent of the devil to attack your brother, to attack your sister. If the devil wants to attack your sister, he will make you to have bad thoughts about that sister, so that he will use that bad thought and go and attack the sister. Or to attack the husband. But because we are not spiritual people, when the devil is attacking your wife, the husbands you don't know. Because when she starts behaving in a way, you should know that the devil is working now. You start praying for her. Or you start praying for your husband. The devil is not working in my husband. Or working or in your sister. Or in the fellowship. Because we are not aware. The devil gets in and scatters the fellowship. And they gossip. She said, I said. He said, I said. They said this about me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
this is deliverance for us. Hallelujah. Amen. You are the temple of God. And the most important part of you is your soul. And this weekend we are going to see the different aspects of the soul. How the different aspects of your soul function. And God's plan to make your soul to be holy. God's plan to make you so that the devil will no longer be ruling over you. So, in God's plan, you are the temple of God. But I will show you scripture. I don't want to just talk. Now, if you go to John chapter 2, in John chapter 2, something very important happened there. Okay, read from verse 18 to 20, from 18 to 22.
Yokana esula bini enda kusome nyiri kumi na munana ndo kiredela kwa vile mubisi. Awala Yudaya nevadamu nevamugamba antikabone rochiko otu olesa akakukoza vino. Yesu nadamu nevamugamba antimimenye yekalu eno na ange ndiji zimbile na kusatu. Aba Yudaya neboogera nti yeekaalu eno yazimbirwa emyaka amakumi ana mu mukaaga. Naawe oligizimbira ennaku ssatu. Naye yayogera ku yeekaalu ya mubiri gwe. Awo bwe yazuukizibwa mu bafu, abayigirizwa be ne bajjukira nti yayogera ekyo ne bakkiriza ebyawandiikibwa n'ekigambo Yesu kye yayogera.
Okay. So you don't need anybody to tell you any other thing.
Kakati ndoza tuwetaga muntu kubulira omanyi
byo. Jesus himself said it.
Yesu yakyogera mwene.
Because he knew.
Kubanga yamanya.
What was in the mind of God?
Echali mundoza ya
Mukama. That he was the temple of God.
Ye yali yekalu ya Mukama.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the temple of God.
Yesu yagamba nti nze yekalu ya Mukama.
And then Paul also said it.
Paulo yakyogera.
If you look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 and then 6:16.
1 Corinthians
3. Bakolise kisoka mukaga 19.
2 Corinthians 6:16.
Kakati ate no tunulira bakolise kyo kubiri mukaga 19.
Hebrews 8:2.
Hebrews what?
8:2.
So these are all the scriptures telling you that you are the temple of God. So God created
Adam
at his temple.
Hebrews 8:2.
Go through it again.
Okay.
First Corinthians 6:19.
2 Corinthians 6:16. Hebrews 8:2.
Hebrews 8:2. Okay. Now, so those are the scriptures that you find that show us that Jesus, that the Bible is saying that we are the temple of God. So, a temple is the place where an offering is brought. In the physical temple, they brought offering there. Also, that means that in your own temple, there must be offering. And in the physical temple, when they made the offering, a physical fire came from heaven. And bought of the sacrifice. Do you know that's what God wants to happen to you? How many people want to be on fire? Oh, you are afraid of the fire. You are afraid of fire. God wants you to be on fire. Hey. Hey. God wants you to be on fire. Now, there was one man that saw fire. The bush was burning. But the thing was not consumed. The bush was burning. But the bush was still there. Hallelujah. So when the fire comes, don't worry, don't be afraid. It will not consume you. It will not consume you. It's a good fire. But there are some people that actually the fire, that they were on fire. Do you know those people? The Bible said there were some people that they were on fire. Who were the people?
The soldiers were.
No. On the day of Pentecost. Hey. On the day of
Pentecost.
Fire. Hallelujah. On every one of them there was fire. Do you know that there's fire on your head in this room now? But you can't see it. God doesn't want you to see it. Because if you see it, you will run away. You say, ah, you will see that again to learn what you want to teach you. Hallelujah. In the spirit, there is fire on you. The devil sees the fire and runs away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil sees the fire and runs.
Stani alaba nyo omuliro.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you pray, fire is coming from your mouth.
Osaba omuliro muva mukamu ako.
When you pray, fire comes from you.
Osaba
kamu. And he's the devil. Amen.
Amen.
But if you are walking in sin,
niwa watambulira mu chibi.
The fire will be quenched.
Omuliro tabuva.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we want to deal with this weekend. How we can walk so that the fire will not be quenched. Amen. You can be on fire, but the fire can be quenched too. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, quench not the Holy Ghost. The more oil you have, the more the fire. The more you have the Holy Ghost, the more the fire is
burning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bible says, let your lamp burn. Hallelujah. So that's what God is saying to us. We are His temple. And He wants His temple to be on fire. The fire shows that the sacrifice has been accepted, isn't it? When Abel offered the sacrifice, and his brother also offered the sacrifice, came. What happened? Fire came on one and consumed it. The other one, there was no fire. In the church, there are many sacrifices, many fires. Many people offering themselves. They want to do the work of God. They are preaching. They are doing all kinds of things. If you are spiritual, you will know the one that has fire. Amen. You will know the one that has fire. And Paul said that we don't need to write a letter to you. Because the Spirit of God tells you that we are the servants of God. Amen. So you should be checked. Don't just follow anything that comes. Check, does it have the fire? Is there a fire in it? Even you yourself, you can check yourself. When the fire is not there, you will know. You will be cold. You know your heart is cold. Hallelujah. And when your heart is cold, it is time to see God. You can't fast. Say, God, what is wrong with me? What have I done? What is going on? Then he will start talking to you. Amen. And when he talks to you, he's to clean you out. So that the fire will come back. So that you can be on fire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, so John tells us very clearly that we are the temple of God. And the scripture I mentioned before, where Jesus said, "Now, what shall it profit a man if you lose the whole world and if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" He's trying to tell us something. That your soul is the most important part of you. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. That's why when you are born, the first thing the devil does is to take your mind. The things that happen to your soul that determine the nature of your soul are the things we inherit from our parents. And then the experiences you get as you grow. And some of us have had very bad experiences. Some of us in our families, there is bloodshed. We have killed people. And the Bible said that blood defiles the land. We have all kinds of things. Other bitter experiences have happened. In some places, maybe your uncle has taken your father's land. And he promised your father that he would train you when you come up. Your father has died. The land has gone. He has refused to train you. Would you be happy with him? And there are many worse such things have happened. Now, all those things, the devil brought it to block your mind. Because he knows that that your soul is the temple of God. Some of us, you know what happens in Uganda here. I won't tell you now. When a woman is to enter her flower, you know what happens? You know what happens when the woman marries, the first night when she marries? You know what happens between uncles and small girls? Incest. Rape. It's very, very common. Everybody, you cover it. Nobody talks about it. It wounds the soul. I mean such things. And the devil is doing all those things to destroy the mind, to destroy your emotion, to destroy your mind, everything within you. You do all those things. Some of the young people have the internet, phone, all those things have taken their mind. So when the children come to church, they are sleeping. But when you put Arsenal football, they are all alive. What do you think is happening? The children follow you to church because you are forcing them to go to church. They don't want to follow you. They don't want to follow you. They want to go somewhere else. Their mind is in Manchester United. Their mind is in Chelsea. The devil has taken the mind. They are there in church, but the temple of God is in England. They are empty. It's just a carcass that's inside the church. The carcass is singing, hey, shouting, hey. The real soul has gone. Amen. The sister is in church. She's in her room cooking for her husband. She is in church.
She,
in her mind, she's in the market. The day you did that to pray, that's when you remember what you have to do in your office. The minute you did that to pray, that's when you remember the assignment you have not done. We should wake up. We don't know the way the devil is. The devil is fighting us, cheating us. And we are allowing him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's bringing jubilee to us. So that we know how to block the enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In this room is a mighty army that can turn this country. And I'm serious. As many as you are here, you can turn Uganda around. Bible says one will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000. 300,000. Four. How many now? Hallelujah. So there's a lot of power in this room. But the power is being wasted. You are armed. But the devil has made you ineffective. The man is carrying weapons. He cannot fight. Because his mind, the devil has demobilized him within. Hallelujah. Before you can fight the devil, he demobilizes you. But the devil is a liar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says it's a liar from the beginning. Because your mind is the weapon of God. If your mind is clean, there is no prayer you will pray, God will not answer. He said, before you open your mouth, he said, I will answer. He said, what he said. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. There is not, he said, anything you ask, I will give you. So, you don't need to form a political party. In this room, you will control what is happening in government house. In this room, you will control what is happening in your country. But you know what else the devil is doing? The devil is telling you are Buganda. The other one is from Njinji. The other one is from Lowero. This one is from not my brother. Amen. But the Bible says that we are from the commonwealth of Israel. We are one family. We are one family. In Kenya, I think I told you the story. What happened? The pastor was
Luo.
Assistant pastor was Kikuyu. He said, come. Catch him. He's low. Kill him. I now become the pastor. It happened. In Kenya. Hallelujah. The church failed. You must not allow it to happen here.
Yes.
You must not allow it to happen
now.
I think you know it's around the corner. It's around the corner. Somebody is asking for you to go and demonstrate on the street.
Also.
So don't think it's far. You must rise up. In this meeting, we are going to rise up. We are going to bind that spirit. Amen. In Uganda.
Uganda.
No civil unrest.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We are going to bind all those things.
Yes.
But you see, you can, if you are praying your prayer, you say, Museveni. He's not from my tribe. Remove him. Remove him so that my brother will enter. Forget it. God will not answer your prayer. Amen.
Amen.
If we are one, as people from Zion, amen. You say anything we will ask, he will do it. Hallelujah. That is the power. That is the power that God is giving to you. So when you come together like this, heaven will be listening to what you're saying. Because you know that you are one family. So God will make you watchmen over the city. God is looking for watchmen over this city. But the watchmen say they are from Buganda. The other one says he's from actually. The other one says he's from so and so and so. No man. And then the devil comes in to destroy the country. That's why you had so many coups. It happened to us also in Nigeria. That's why we are praying. The elections we are praying. Amen. We say, God have mercy on us. Deliver us. You know. So the church needs to rise. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. And God knows that He can depend on you to rise up and then to fight and come against it. So we believe that this weekend, that God is going to help us to study the Bible. Amen. We're not going to distribute money. We don't have money to distribute. Amen. We don't have money to distribute. But God is going to give us life. He's going to give us jubilee. He's going to bless us. And he says that you are next in line for the miracle. I say, this is your time. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So I think we'll stop at this point so that we can get some. Maybe Brother Bere, he also has something to say. And then we can have a break and then.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We thank God for the opportunity to be here. God is visiting Africa. Many years ago, the Lord began to speak to us that the time for Africa has come. And it is something that we must all understand here. Some years ago, God sent a man to Nigeria. In the 1940s, he was the British. But he came to Nigeria. He settled in Nigeria. He labored in Nigeria. He died in Nigeria. And he planted a seed. Anybody who is who in the church in Nigeria today, all the big leaders you hear about, the ones you know, were raised up by this man. But you may never have heard his name. Heaven knows him. Now this man taught us certain things. And one of the things he taught us was about the role of Africa And this final work that God is doing. In the Old Testament, God gave a certain instruction to the children of Israel. He said, 3 times in a year, all your male shall appear before me. At the feast of Passover, at the feast of Pentecost, and at the feast of Tabernacles. And the Lord began to show us that these feasts represent experiences in our lives too. It also represents the work of God progressively in the church. We may be talking about that this weekend, if the Lord permits also. But he said something very peculiar. You see, that, you know, the whole of the earth is descended from the three sons of Noah. Noah had three sons. He had Shem, he had Japheth, and he had Ham. And the feast of Passover, which was the beginning of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel that, you know, taught men to repent and be born again, was, you know, God used the sons of Shem. Shem is the father of the Hebrews and the people in the Middle East. That's where the gospel started from. You know, and they were the instruments that God used for that visitation upon the earth. See, but God is a God of progression. There was a second feast that was called the Feast of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, God poured out His Spirit. Hallelujah. He started in a particular location on the earth, but He began to spread all over the world. The visitation of Pentecost, with the miracles, the signs and the wonders, but it was the sons of Japheth, that's the Europeans, the Americans, that God used to bring Pentecost to the whole world. When we say Pentecost today, this gospel came to us from America, not from the Jews. It came from England. It came from Europe. But there is another feast, which is the greatest feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the fullness of that which God wants to give to humanity. What God is actually giving us is His own life. He gives it to us in measures. He gives it to us in measures. As we drink, He gives us more. We are in the time of the fullness of what God wants to do. And it is in the mind of God to use a people who have been rejected, who have been despised, who have been downtrodden, according to the prophet Isaiah. That which man calls nothing, that is the instrument that God will use for the final work that is going to do. So God is going to use that to destroy the wisdom of man. The devil has kept Africa bound for so many long, tied us up, you see, all over Africa, put us under oppression. Most of the rulers in Africa, you see one man ruling for 40 years. For him to rule for 40 years, he enters the covenant with the devil. Do you understand that? There is virtually no African ruler that is not covenanted to a devil to maintain power over the land. So through these men, the devil rules over Africa. You see, but the Bible said that where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. Grace much more abounds. So out of this dark continent, God is going to raise a light that will shine to the ends of the earth. And I believe that God said that we should go to Africa to begin to raise up a voice, begin to prepare our hearts for this work that God is going to do. There are certain requirements that God is going to demand of all of us. The thing that has made the church to fail today, God wants to bring us to an awareness so that we can avoid it. Hallelujah. When God raised up a man called Saul, he anointed him. God had a great program for him. But there were certain things about Saul that made his ministry to fail. And God raised another man, David. Today we talk about the throne of David. Jesus is the son of David. He sits upon the throne of David, bringing to us the sure messages of David. You know, so the Lord is seeking to prepare us to learn from the pitfalls of those who have gone before us. There are many today in the church. They have great ministries, but the Lord has cut them off. He says, I will raise me up. Oh, okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can stand up.
Can you meet me?
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come on, you win.
Brethren, I believe that what we are doing here tonight, we may not know the importance. When they were gathered in the upper room, they never knew that God will light a fire there that we are still sharing from today. They were just waiting upon the Lord. They were just looking up to the Lord. They were just searching their hearts. They were just purging themselves before the Lord. And God visited them. We are the threshold of another visitation. But it is not going to end up like the last ones, when God will anoint men and they will use the anointing for their personal gain. They will use the anointing to promote themselves. God anoints men for a purpose, for His own purpose, not for any of us. We are main instruments in God's hands. And I trust that this weekend God will speak to us so that we do not fail. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that we fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. God has something in His heart. He will look for an instrument to accomplish that. You know, when
Eli
was called into the priesthood, and his sons came into the priesthood, the actions of those sons made men to despise the house of the Lord. Young girls came to the house to worship God, and the sons of Eli messed them up.
So,
when you tell a man to go to the temple, women will tell their daughters, don't go anywhere. The house of God became a place of mockery. I don't know what is happening in Uganda today, but that's what is happening in Nigeria and all over the place. But you see, God is a righteous God. One day a man of God came to Eli and said, when I brought you into this ministry, when I anointed you, when I raised you up into this office, and when I called your parents out of Egypt, I had a plan, I had a purpose. It's not this thing going on now. Well, I have something I'm going to do. I'm going to sweep you out. But I have somebody. At that time, Samuel was just a little boy. God said, I will raise me up a faithful priesthood that will do according to what is in my heart, according to what is in my mind, and I will establish his ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is raising up a people. Nobody knows them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul said, we are unknown. And yet we are well known. We may be unknown among men, but we are known in the heavens.
Amen.
That spirit, the sons of Sceva went to cast out a devil. He said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. The spirit said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Hallelujah. There are spirits in Africa that are ruling over nations. But God is going to raise up a people who will judge the spirits and bring deliverance to Africa. It is a different kind of ministry. You know, when Peter and John came to the temple to pray, it was the hour of prayer. We may be talking about this hour also this weekend. It was the time of prayer in the evening. It was a peculiar time in God's program. It was at this time that Zechariah came to pray. He was ministering in the temple. And an angel appeared to him and said, things are about to change. That your barrenness, that your unfruitfulness is about to change. You're going to bring forth a son, a new dimension of ministry, a different thing altogether. You will call his name John. When they said his name is John, they said there's nobody in your family that answers this name. All your spiritual fathers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will not be the way it used to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said his name is John. That's the name that the angel gave. And when John got up and began to minister, he left the temple. He left the temple. Hallelujah. Because politics has taken over the temple. He said in that year that Philip was tetrarch of Judea. Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. But the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. John was not interested in title. When he came to minister, they said, are you the Christ? He said, I am not. Are you that prophet? He said, I am not. Who are you? He said, I am nobody. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Are you prepared to be only a voice? Are you prepared to be just a voice?
Or
do you want to have big posters with your name there? Is that what is in your heart? You have to make up your mind to be a nobody among men, but to be great in the heavens. He said, your name shall be Israel, a prince with God, one who has influence with God. When this man talks, God listens. God said, if this one stand before me praying, I will hear them. John said, I am nobody. In fact, he says that, you know, let him increase, let me decrease. There is a heart that God is looking for this time. The heart of most people going to the ministry is full of ambition. They have all kinds of plans. Most young people want to head a church so that they can be commanding people the way their pastor used to command them. This is not what God is doing. Hallelujah. That's why this weekend we'll be talking about the soul. Because it says it is the altar that sanctifies the gift. If the altar is defiled, no matter the miracles you do, no matter how big your church is, that offering will never be accepted before God. Praise the name of the Lord. So at that time of prayer, Peter and John went up to the temple. There was a man who was, you know, a cripple. This man had been a cripple from birth. Hallelujah. He had been a cripple from birth. Every day he would stay there. His friends would carry him and bring him there. He couldn't walk on his own. They have been carried, every day will carry him. A lot of Christians are just being carried. You understand? Sometimes the pastor is just the one carrying the whole church. He will carry people to church today. He will, in the, after church, he will carry them out. The burden is too much on him. The people can never learn to walk on their own. They can't walk in righteousness. They can't walk in truth. They are carrying them every day. Hallelujah. This man needed something. Hallelujah. He needed something. Hallelujah. He needed to walk on his own feet. You need to stand on your own. You need to know what God has said to you, not what your pastor has said. Hallelujah. Not what your pastor has said. So that man will be lying, will be sitting there. People will come and give him money. Every day he will expect money. Every day he will expect money. You know, and his mind was tied to money. Like my brother was talking about the prosperity ministry. The things of the spirit have been converted to material things. Everybody's saying, how can I use my anointing to make money? But that was not what the man needed. He needed to walk. See what happened. When Peter and John came there, they said, oh, another ministry has come. Do you understand? People, they've come from Nigeria. Do you understand the point? Peter looked at them and said, silver and gold I have not. Our ministry is not prosperity. We didn't come here to teach you how to put one, what do you use here now? Shilling, okay, and get 10 shillings. But what we have, and we have something, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. That man needed that his feet be strengthened. God began to speak through Isaiah about a minister that is coming, that the lame shall walk. Hallelujah. Those who are dull will begin to have understanding. That streams will begin to flow in the desert. Souls that have been barren and dry, the life of God will flow out. He said, Jesus said, he that believeth, Jesus said, he that believeth, out of his belly, out of his soul, life will begin to flow. Peter said, this is what we have unto you. We are rivers of living water. Drink. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the man jumped up. Hallelujah. He stood up. You know what he did? He held them. And together, they entered into the temple. That was this man's greatest need. Every day he would see people go into the temple and come out. They will tell him, oh, the beauty of the temple. David said, one thing have I desired. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life. To behold his beauty. Many do not have a personal experience with God. They are born again. But they are crippled. It is our prayer that this weekend God will begin to strengthen your faith so that you can enter for yourself and see for yourself and know for yourself and believe for yourself. Hallelujah. And experience God for yourself. That man was never the same again. In fact, his friends will see him the next day. Walking. Somebody will be scratching his head. In fact, I almost thought that this was that man. The friend said, no, it's not. It looks like him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It looks like him. It couldn't be. The man said, it is me. Hallelujah. A change can come into your life that people cannot believe. The things that you are not able to do before. Many things about your personality that having been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they remain unchanged. God can address them. God is interested in your personality. That's what most people have not understood. When people are called into the ministry, they think that they are there to do signs and wonders. We are to reflect Christ. Hallelujah. Christ wants to be manifested in your personality. I threw a challenge. In fact, almost every country we go to, I tell them, I said, if the pastor's wives, all of them, you understand, go to the television house and say everything they know about their husband, nobody will come to church again. Hallelujah. Nobody will come to church again. Hallelujah. Nobody will come to church again. Because the same man who preaches fire, you know, on the pulpit will go home and beat his wife. And she will not talk because of the ministry. God wants to make something real in our lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It can change a man. It can change your personality. It can change your character. It can change anything about you. This is what we're talking about. God wants to raise up a young generation who will not follow the sins of their fathers, because this generation will enter the promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage us here that my brother said there's a great army here. You may not know. The angel came to Gideon and said, you're a mighty man. Gideon was looking behind. Maybe he's talking to somebody else. He said, no, it's you. Gideon, he didn't feel mighty. He didn't say anything mighty about himself. But God, as we're going to learn this weekend, is a God who declares the end from the beginning. When God speaks about you, he speaks about your end. He is walking towards your end. See, though your beginning was very small, your later end shall be very great. So I want to stop here. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I feel God will have us to do this time around is to pray. We're going to pray for the nation. We're also going to pray for the church. There's a new generation coming, believe me, brother, who will not follow the sins of their fathers. God will use them. Because they have no agenda for themselves. They are presenting themselves as a living sacrifice. God will be glorified in them. The reproach of the church will be taken away. The reproach of the church will be taken away. Men will look at them and they will not be able to say bad things about them, because they will have a testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the Lord's desire that will be that generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That will change the testimony of this land. God bless you.
Amen.
I just thought it. Okay, I'm not. Yes.